Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and wildfires still a threat in Oklahoma and parts of the Southwest and Midwest today. At least four people died in Oklahoma, and tornado outbreaks over this weekend blamed for killing more than three dozen. New storms on the horizon, including a blizzard, are in the mix this week. ABC's Ginger Z has more.
We know there's a lot of wind from Las Vegas to Houston up to Kansas City, but on top of it, you have snow. And when you mix a 60-mile-per-hour wind with the snow, even if it's just 3 inches, you get blizzard conditions. That's why there are blizzard warnings from parts of Kansas and Nebraska right up through Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
President Trump and Russia's President Vladimir Putin holding a critical call right now. The U.S. working to get Russia's leader to agree to a 30-day ceasefire with Ukraine. Ukraine's already agreed to that deal. Israeli forces carrying out massive airstrikes today in Gaza. It ends the 2-month ceasefire and killed hundreds. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM. For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. If you haven't yet registered to vote for the April 1st election, time's running out. Here's Derek Tritz.
Wisconsin's spring election is just around the corner with polls opening April 1st from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Deadlines for online and mail voter registration just passed, but if you haven't registered yet, you can still register in person at your municipal clerk's office until 5 p.m. March 28th. Wisconsin also allows for same-day voter registration. You'll just need a government-issued ID like a driver's license and additional proof of residence if your current ID doesn't match your current address. More information can be found at myvote.wi.gov.
By the way, early in-person voting begins today in most places. Check with your city clerk for voting days and times. The Oshkosh Area School District Board of Education voted last week to restrict those who make public comment during school board meetings to only OASD residents or people with a child attending school in the district. The vote was not unanimous. Timothy Hess voted against the change.
I am willing to listen to anybody who is interested in coming here, that there are people that live outside of this community that would have something to say that I feel like we should be listening to. So honestly, I feel like this is an attempt to limit particular people that we know we don't want to hear from that live outside of the district.
But board member Barbara Herzog disagreed.
I think it's important to remember that the purpose of our board meetings is to conduct board business. We're not required by law to have a public comment session.
The policy change passed with a vote of 5-2. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
The Bucks hit the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks begin a long road trip, playing five different teams out west over the next 10 days. Tonight, they face the Golden State Warriors. College basketball, while Wisconsin and Marquette get ready for March Madness later this week, the Badger football team's spring practices are underway in Madison. Head coach Luke Fickell talked about the team's offense with a new coordinator, a new quarterback, and a lot of new players.
Obviously, day one, I think most important thing is efficiency to what we're trying to do. Right? I mean, there's a lot of new offense. I mean that in people. I mean that in just, you know, making sure we understand how we got to do things together. I think we're a little bit further along than, you know, I've really kind of spent a lot of time in football the last month and a half, 2 months, with just some walkthroughs and things, not just training and things like that, but doing a lot of football. And that's going to be real important to us.
That's the Badgers football coach, Luke Fickell, with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy, but still mild today with highs reaching 50 degrees. And tomorrow it'll be overcast with showers and storms moving in by the afternoon. High temperatures will hit 40 degrees and slide below freezing overnight. This is going to switch the rain to all snow Wednesday evening, bringing about 2 to 4 inches. I'm meteorologist Brittany Rilau. Currently, it's 48.
National Agriculture Week is here. Let's take a moment to bring attention to and celebrate the important role agriculture plays in our daily lives and that our Wisconsin farms play in feeding communities throughout the United States. This message made possible by local American Family Insurance agent Kyle Lang, offering home, farmland, auto, and life insurance. Visit KyleLangAgency.com to request a quote. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance agent Kyle Lang.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
On Wednesday's show, Tori Wittenbrock and John Kramer join us from the Green Bay Press Times. They'll talk about Habitat for Humanity's Rock the Block program. Plus, Jason Mansmith from the Thrasher Opera House in Green Lake joins us with details on their upcoming Eats for the Arts event.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, March 18th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Overcast skies here in downtown Madison at the world headquarters of State Street, Mr. Zommers. Not a bad day at all. A little, it feels spring-like. It's warm, but not too warm.
It's nice. I think I'm going to take a nice little walk outside after the show.
That sounds like a fantastic idea. Some precipitation moving in tomorrow tonight into tomorrow, I believe, and looking at a few inches of snow in kind of northeast Wisconsin, the Eau Claire area, La Crosse, roughly speaking, 2 to 4 inches there. And then down in southeast Wisconsin, just south of Madison, down towards Milwaukee area, maybe 2 to 4 inches of snow. Here in Madison, probably 2 inches or less. So just be aware of that. And then by Thursday, everything kind of warms back up to the 50s again, and it starts melting. So this time of year, we get these snows, and they don't last long because the temperatures warm up quickly, but it can wreak havoc on the roads. So just be aware of that later on tonight into tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning's commute may be a bit prickly in terms of trying to get into work on time. So either allow yourself some extra time, or if you have the luxury of working from home, you might want to consider that tomorrow as well. Big day. By the way, I hope everybody had a good St. Patrick's Day. I did not go out. In the words of Captain James T. Kirk, I went home. It's a great line from Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan. And at the beginning of the movie, Spock, who had been promoted to captain of the Enterprise, and Kirk was admiral. And Kirk says, "Where are you off to?" And Spock says, "To the Enterprise to make ready for your review. And you." And Kirk looks at him just with lonely puppy dog eyes and says, "Home." he just had nowhere to go. He's going home. Everybody else, he just went home. So last night I just went home and chilled out. It was a nice evening. Had a little leftover pizza and wine. Zommers, did you go out last night?
I did not. Well, yes, I did, kind of. So
he was out so long he forgot he went out.
No. I didn't go out to the bar for drinks. Oh. I did go out for dinner.
Oh, your sister's birthday was yesterday.
Yes. My older sister was in town for a doctor's appointment, coincidentally, also her birthday. So I got her some Irish dinner. We went to Monty's Blue Plate Diner.
Oh, nice.
I got some corned beef and cabbage and potatoes, all that good stuff.
Oh, great. Good. You had a very Irish dinner. Well,
I did.
Congratulations to everybody who celebrated the luck of the Irish. Our very own Sage Weil, CEO and owner of Sage, or owner of Civic Media, he had a birthday yesterday. So happy birthday to Sage. And also a handful of other people. the company has grown, and this is a good thing. The company has grown, and people keep track of all these, and we get them in our group chat. Happy birthday. So now it's to the point where I don't recognize some people, but I still wish them a happy birthday. What I thought would be funny, do you think I should do this sometime? I thought it'd be funny to just pick a name. Like, I don't think there's a, I don't know, pick a name. I think there's a Pamela.
Jerry.
Are there no Jerrys that work?
I don't think
company?
We have any Jerrys.
All right. So I think it'd be funny to, like, on the general chat one day to go, happy birthday, Jerry. Thanks for all you do for us. Have a great day. And then see how many people respond.
I think you should do it. And I hope that any of the other civic media folks listening don't spoil the fun.
Right. I just think that'd be an interesting experiment.
They should join in.
It reminds me of the Seinfeld episode where they make a cake for everybody's birthday and then it just gets overwhelming because there's so many birthdays. But that's great. That's great. I mean, it's always fun to celebrate birthdays, and happy birthday to all those Irish folks that celebrated yesterday. Big show for you today. Coming up in hour number two, have a little fun with What's Worse. Regular listeners of this program will know this is a pet peeve. It involves the cable company. Dun, dun, dun.
It sure does.
By the way, Tony Zimmerman. Oh, congratulations, by the way, to Tony Zimmerman and his lovely wife. They just became parents again. So congrats. Congratulations to Tony and his family for welcoming a new little one into their family. And he is back on the YouTube here. He says, Civic Media is a friendly group. I bet Jerry would get lots of appreciation. I bet so.
Now, can we create an account for Jerry and have Jerry say thanks?
Right.
And then everyone's like, who the hell is
Jerry?
Oh,
that's a great idea. Get on that.
I'll see what we can do.
All right. Todd, listening to Oshkosh and WISS, says, I always interpreted that line of Kirk's as calling the Enterprise home. No, actually, he was just depressed because everybody else was getting to go to the Enterprise and have fun. And Spock said, where are you off to? And he just goes, home. Because the next scene is followed up in his actual home, and Dr. McCoy comes to visit him with some Romulan ale and a pair of bifocals, antique bifocals.
Just what you need to get the party started.
Exactly. Kirk looks at the bifocals and says, and McCoy looks at him like, what are you giving me? And McCoy says, well, normally for patients like you, I prescribe Retinox 5. And Kirk says, I'm allergic to Retinox 5. And McCoy says, exactly. I can recite that movie almost verbatim.
I know. Yeah.
I had Pete Schwabba on one day, and Pete and I will just, is he a Trekkie or not?
I'm not sure. I think that'd be interesting if you just start the line. And
right. We'll see how far we could go reciting. Pete Schwabba and Todd recite Star Trek II Wrath of Khan. I want the line that's gone. All right, enough. I'm sorry. I got off on a Well, it is Tuesday tangents. Lukester is still traveling back. He was down in Arizona at the big Brewers spring training, and we are very appreciative of him calling in with a live report from spring training. Oh, wait, that didn't happen, did it?
It did not. No, the timing didn't line up.
All right. But I hear he'll be back tomorrow. So that'll be great. We'll welcome him in tomorrow. Lots of news to get to. We're going to have a quiz for you in just a little bit here on measles. How about that? Timely indeed.
Unfortunately.
Sadly, but true. Donald Trump talking to Vladimir Putin today, according to reports, about dividing up Ukraine. One problem, Ukraine's not involved. Usually, generally speaking, the country that was attacked gets to have some say in how it ends.
Details.
I know, but details. The Navajo Code Talkers. Have you heard of those, Albers?
Sure have.
Absolutely. Navajo Code Talkers, a very, very important part of American history, helping out in war efforts over the years. And now the Trump administration is canceling them, getting rid of their long and illustrious history from military websites because they're considered DEI. So we'll talk about all that. Take your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Oh, and we have to get to what we promoted. Another cut for broadband how it's going to affect Wisconsin. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. But I want to begin today with some breaking news this morning. I don't read a lot of the old Donald Trump social media posts because, you know, he has his own so-called social media network where his minions follow, called Truth Social. And so he put a post on Truth Social this morning. I want to read you the tweet in its entirety without editing it. And then I want to give you some breaking news out of the U.S. Supreme Court as a response to this, which I can't remember before when it's happened. And we talked about this yesterday with our friend Matt Flynn. If you missed it, I encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast of yesterday's show at civicmedia.us. Matt, fantastic as always. And we talked at length that over the weekend, Donald Trump put a bunch of migrants on a plane, many of whom were most likely gang members from Venezuela. But they did not have due process in court. And it's also very likely that there may be innocence in three plane loads of the accused. And again, I want to make clear, I'm not here to defend legit criminals. What I am here to defend is the rule of law. And in the United States of America, under the U.S. Constitution, which is the ultimate ruler of our country in terms of what's right and what's wrong, the Constitution guarantees everybody due process under the law. And that when a judge gives an order, you follow it, period. And if you don't agree with it, there's an appeals process that you go through. Well, over the weekend, Trump put a bunch of Venezuelan gang members alleged on a plane, three planes, actually. And in the meantime, there was a lawsuit filed to stop it. And the judge in the case said, no, this, you can't just send these people to, and they're going to El Salvador, which we'll get into here in a bit. I talked about it yesterday. Marco Rubio made a deal with the president of El Salvador, Nayib Bukele, to house American prisoners. And to be clear, some of whom could be U.S. citizens, to house them in prisons in El Salvador, which are notoriously inhumane, essentially human dog kennels. And so the judge in this case said, wait, you didn't do this right, Trump administration. Todd's words, of course, I'm putting this down there where the chickens can get at it, including me. The judge essentially said, look, you didn't follow the law. You didn't follow the process to do this. Let's review this. Make sure you did the process right. And maybe you can then go ahead and send these people to El Salvador, but you have to do it the right way. The Trump administration said, not doing it. Claimed that the planes were in the air. At least one of them didn't take off until after the judge's ruling. This morning, Donald Trump tweeted out Truth Social network. He said the following. This is Trump, quote, "This radical left lunatic of a judge, a troublemaker, an agitator, who was sadly appointed by Barack Hussein Obama, was not elected president. He didn't win the popular vote by a lot. He didn't win all seven swing states. He didn't win 2,750 of the 525 counties, in all caps. He didn't win anything. I won for many reasons. In an overwhelming mandate by fighting illegal immigration have been the number one reason for this historic victory." Then to go on and says, "I'm just doing what the voters wanted me to do. This judge, like many of the crooked judges I am forced to appear before, should be impeached." We'll finish the rest of it. And what Chief Justice Roberts of the Supreme Court said in response. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Lowball Show for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
It may be margarita night for you gals, but the guys are getting Dudes and Tacos. Dudes and Tacos is an initiative of Foundation's Health and Wholeness to help reduce men's suicide and give men the resources they need to improve their mental well-being. And this month, they're going to be at the Mad Apple Burger and Billiard Company on March 18th at 5:30 p.m., where you can play some pool, listen to their special guest speaker, and discuss communication and relationships. It's a free event with free tacos. So don't dawdle. Head to WISS.FM and click events to learn more.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Utah adopted universal mail-in voting in 2013, with no widespread misuse in its 12 years. March 6th, the GOP-dominated Utah legislature approved an amended bill to end it in 2029, despite 76% of state voters supporting it. HB 300 was even more draconian just weeks ago, requiring voters to return their ballot in person so ID could be shown. Such a move would have ended the convenience voters like about mail-in voting and created a burden for rural and Native American voters who might live hours from a polling place. The Utah News-Dispatch reports that the amended bill phases out universal mail-in voting in 2029 rather than immediately. But in the interim, voters must obtain a state-issued voting ID by 2026 and provide four digits from that ID with signature matching as a backup. The voter ID would be free only to those proving they can't afford it. In 2029, voters can opt in to a semi-permanent 8-year vote-by-mail list, and election officials would rely only on the voting ID number for identification. Voters could opt in at the DMV, polling places, or the state's voter portal. The bill also extends the ballot return deadline to 8 p.m. on Election Day. Governor Spencer Cox is likely to sign it. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us at 21 past the hour of 12 noon. Talking about breaking news this morning, Donald Trump on his Truth Social, truthing out, tweeting out, whatever you want to call it, a long diatribe of which I read the most right before the break, attacking a federal judge who ruled over the weekend that Donald Trump did not follow constitutional law and due process, and therefore sending 3 plane loads of migrants that Trump deemed illegal and part of a Venezuelan gang, he had to turn the planes around. Not only did Trump not turn the 2 planes around that were in the air, he shipped off another one after the judge's ruling. Yesterday in court, many of the Department of Justice attorneys refused to answer the judge's questions, saying it was a matter of national security. There is another appearance set for Friday. This morning, Trump attacked the judge. I won't read the whole thing again, but I'm going to pick up a line before where I left off and then finish it up. Trump saying in part, quote, "This judge, like many of the crooked judges I am forced to appear before, should be impeached. We don't want vicious, violent, and demented criminals, many of them deranged murderers, in our country. Make America great again," unquote. Donald Trump this morning on Truth Social, calling for the impeachment of a federal judge because he did not agree with the judge's ruling. About a half an hour, maybe 20 minutes before we went on the air here, just before noon, or at noon, breaking news further now, and this is something that I don't recall seeing. A statement from the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, John Roberts, who of course was appointed by former President George W. Bush. In an article on CNN just moments ago, it says Chief Justice John Roberts pushed back on President Donald Trump's escalating rhetoric against the federal judiciary this morning in a highly unusual statement that appeared to be aimed at the president's call to impeach judges who rule against him. The statement reads, and I quote, "For more than 2 centuries, it has been established that impeachment is not an appropriate response to disagreement concerning a judicial decision," Roberts said in the statement. He went on to say, quote, "The normal appellate review process exists for that purpose," unquote. Roberts' statement did not mention Trump by name, But it came hours after the president stepped in with the attack on the federal judge by specifically calling for Judge James Boasberg, who has temporarily blocked the deportation of alleged Venezuelan gang members, to be impeached. Several Trump allies, including Elon Musk, have been calling for impeaching judges for weeks after a ruling against the Trump administration. This is, as I said, I'm going to use the word unprecedented just because I'm not aware of it happening before, where a sitting chief justice puts out a statement in direct response and against the sitting president of the United States. So remember, this comes just after the address to Congress and the nation. It's not called the State of the State in the first year, but that's essentially what it is. Where after the speech, Trump on his way out passed by Chief Justice Roberts and kind of slapped him on the shoulder and said, "Hey, thanks a lot. I won't forget that." You can pick the ruling, whatever one it was, that Roberts ruled in favor of Trump. But now even conservative Chief Justice John Roberts says this, attacking a sitting federal judge and calling for his impeachment over a decision you do not like, is a bridge too far. The CNN article goes on saying, quote, "The Chief Justice and other members of the Supreme Court have largely remained silent as Trump and his allies have ramped up their attacks on the judiciary amid a slew of preliminary rulings that haven't gone their way. Most of these cases are being appealed and will likely wind up through the 6-3 conservative Supreme Court in the coming months. Though Roberts and other justices have largely steered clear of Trump's unusually sharp criticism of federal judges, the statement today was similar to a rebuke that Chief Justice issued in 2018 when he responded to Trump's remarks by saying that, quote, "We do not have Obama judges or Trump judges, Bush judges, or Clinton judges," unquote. So I guess last time it happened was 2018, and I don't even know if it was that. It stemmed from Trump in 2017, 2018, continually saying, well, that person's an Obama judge or that person's a Clinton judge. And the Chief Justice said, look, we don't have judges attached to a president. We just have judges, period. What do you think about this? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Ignoring the courts. Because as I've said for quite a while now, this is really the last thing I've been waiting for to call it on democracy. You know, like you watch a football game or a basketball game. You know, 5 minutes left, 8 minutes left. One team is way ahead. You say, that's it. I'm calling it. It's over. I haven't called it quite yet on democracy, small d democracy in the United States yet. I'm waiting for the courts to truly fall. We're perilously close to that right now. Have we got time for the Bongino cutter? Is that not all right? We'll come back. Dan Bongino, conservative podcaster, talk show host, who is now the deputy director of the FBI. He has literally said that Donald Trump should ignore the courts. Don't believe me? Fine. Come on back. We have the receipts, as they say. Dan Bongino in his own words. And speaking of own words, we'll hear from the Trumpster who was on Air Force One coming back from a golf tournament, his own, which, surprise, surprise, he won again after video of it clearly showed he was cheating, by the way. Who wants to play with a golfer that cheats like that? Just ridiculous. Anyway, we'll come back. So we'll hear from Dan Bongino calling for Trump to ignore the courts and Donald Trump to ignore Ukraine. It's the Todd Allball Show for Tuesday. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Happy National Agriculture Day. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you on a Tuesday. You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. We put out a social media video today celebrating the industry and the farmers who make it all happen. You can find it at Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. Today we're focused on wheat for our market report, and here to help tell us why is market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing. He says dry weather has been threatening the crop in the Central Plains.
Down in that hard red winter wheat belt, you know, the Kansas wheat belt area, as this crop is starting to work itself out of dormancy, is the moisture there. They didn't pick up much moisture from that storm, as most of the energy in terms of precipitation was to the east of that area. So it's something we'll have to watch. On top of that, on the global side, we don't have a lot of wheat out there in terms of available wheat for importers to use. We're watching that Russian crop as well as the European crop. Dryness concerns are building there. So there could be a bit of a story here where we could kind of lead this market higher for a while. So we'll have to kind of watch that.
Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend with what he's watching in the marketplace today. We'll take a look at our midday commodity prices in just a minute.
In our world of agriculture, weather conditions rule our workday. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to help keep an eye on Mother Nature. You can help by taking real-time weather observations and alerting the National Weather Service about severe weather occurring where you are. Everyday people such as yourself play a vital role in protecting lives and property. To find out how you can become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 63 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for April 1st through the 3rd at the EAA Grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit WisconsinPublicService.com.
Let's take a look at our markets midday on a Tuesday. From Chicago, corn is mixed. Cash corn down a penny and a half at 4.59 and a half. December new crop corn is up 0.75 cents at 4.54 and 3/4. Soybeans and wheat are trading higher. Cash beans up a penny and 3/4 at 10.17 and a quarter. November new crop beans up a penny and a quarter at 10.19 and 3/4. And July new crop wheat is up 3 3/4 cents, trading at 5.88 and 3/4. Class 3 milk contracts are mixed, with the April contract up 2 cents at 17.18 a hundredweight. The May contract is down 3 cents at 17.27. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff. Happy National Agriculture Day.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy but still mild today with highs reaching 50 degrees. And tomorrow it'll be overcast with showers and storms moving in by the afternoon. High temperatures will hit 40 degrees and slide below freezing overnight. This is going to switch the rain to all snow Wednesday evening, bringing about 2 to 4 inches. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Currently it's 48.
Ready for the ultimate getaway? Picture this, a cozy cabin in Wisconsin's Northwoods, surrounded by nature's beauty, crystal clear lakes, and endless adventure. Be it fishing, boating, snowmobiling, or just kicking back by a campfire under the stars. This is relaxation like never before. Cook your own meals, enjoy private docks, and even bring your furry friends along for the ride. It's a perfect spot for family fun, a romantic retreat, and more. What kind of trip are you planning? Book your Northwoods vacation rental at SimpleLifeRentals.com.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And I'm Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Join us weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on WGBW and WISS, now brought to you by Pickle and Bag.
For your next group outing, visit pickleandbags.com.
The Veteran Salute on Mino and the Mayor is brought to you by Nate Olson at Olson Legal Group, a veteran-owned business in Oshkosh and Berlin, specializing in estate planning, real estate, and all business matters. Visit them online, olsonlegalgroup.com.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a former Democrat convicted of bribery, among other things, now turning to help from the president. An update on Gold Bar Bob tomorrow. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Yeah, pursuing truth,
wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon, Tuesday, March 18th. Zommer's on the board. If you want to give us a call, he's waiting, standing by to say hello. He'll say it nicer than that. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Or you can text us on the Civic Media app talking about Donald Trump's post this morning on his Truth Social and calling, and he's calling for the impeachment of a federal judge who ruled over the weekend that Trump unconstitutionally, or at least without due process, expedited the removal of three plane loads of alleged Venezuelan gang members. And they got shipped off to El Salvador, because now the U.S. has a deal with the president of El Salvador, Nayib Bukele. U.S. paid Bukele $6 million to take in these three plane loads of prisoners and to put them in essentially human dog kennels, which are the prisons in El Salvador. And again, I want to make clear, for me, this is not about defending the people on the plane per se. I assume that most of them are guilty of crimes. Most of them are guilty of being here without documentation. What I'm defending is the way in which it was done. Because if there's not due process, then we're all susceptible. And we talked about this yesterday, a story in the Journal Sentinel, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and USA Today, in which a guy from Wisconsin who had married a woman from Peru, living here in Wisconsin, he voted, the husband, for Trump. They went on their honeymoon to Puerto Rico, and when they came back, tried to get back in the United States, she was taken away. A Canadian out in California, here legally, trying to get her papers renewed, was put in chains and taken away to a detainment camp in Arizona. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Kurt in Madison said, so the Supreme Court gives the petulant man-child a torch for his containers of gasoline, and now they are surprised about the fires. This judge, now under attack by Trump, Trump saying that he should be impeached, and Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts saying about an hour ago, made it very clear in his statement, that is not the case. Basically admonishing Trump without naming him or the judge. This is not new for the Trump administration. Dan Bongino, who is now the deputy director of the FBI, on his podcast, The Dan Bongino Show, during the campaign last fall, before he became the deputy director of the FBI, here's what he said Trump should do in regards to the courts.
So this is what they're doing. This is why Clarence Thomas has been speaking out about the national restraining orders, how a judge in New York can give a restraining order for a congressional district in Wyoming is ridiculous. Clarence Thomas has been warning about this forever. This A. Muse on Twitter is talking about this lawfare too, how this Obama-appointed judge threatened Trump and his team with arrest if they don't restore every dime of funding that have been paused or canceled. Folks, my recommendation is Donald Trump should ignore this. This judge is obviously not acting constitutionally at all. It should be ignored. Demand it resuming all, but you can't order the executive to spend. I mean, you've effectively usurped the power of the executive. Now, before I get to the next, I'm going to play you a video.
It goes on from there. Dan Bongino, who is now the deputy director.
Oh. Threatening with arrest. Who's going to arrest them? The marshals? You guys know who the U.S. marshals work for? Department of Justice. That is under the, oh yeah, executive branch. Donald Trump's going to order his own arrest? And his team. This is ridiculous.
Dan Bongino, now the deputy director of the FBI, that was on his podcast before he started working in the Trump administration, makes it very clear. Look, Trump, just ignore the judges. Ignore the courts. Who's going to stop you? You control the people that might stop you. This was baked in before the election. And there were some people that said, Todd, why did you use words like authoritarian, dictator, fascist? You're going over the top. You're being extremist. The courts will stop him. I said, I'm afraid not. It's not about me being right. It's about just being a student of history. And here we are. On the precipice of losing democracy, small d democracy, in America. 855-752-4842. Let's go out to Los Angeles, California. L.A. Tom, thanks for calling. How are you?
Yeah, Todd, I think what you need to do on your show is you need to yell more like that Bolingino did. Apparently, when you yell more, then people must believe you more, and they must believe more in the partisan side. There's something about the Republican side where when you scream it, they believe it, I guess. But what I wanted to say is...
I slightly disagree with that, but that's another story, but go ahead.
No. I'm saying that in just a little bit, but in some ways, there are certain people, I think, that respond to that. So what I want to say, though, is that I hope Justice Roberts was not a person that went ahead and said it was okay for the president to shoot anybody or, you know, take SEAL Team 6 and take them out, because, you know, they did not just hold the Supreme Court in a place where they were not the ones that were going to be cleared of that. I mean, they themselves could be at the end of a gun by a SEAL Team 6 member.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
I see exactly. No, it was very... Go ahead.
No. You go ahead.
Well, I see exactly what you're saying, and it's interesting because I'm gonna shift over, unless you have something else, because I want to shift over and talk about this taking over of the courts and where it's been done before, why it's important. But go ahead if you have something else.
Yeah, no, I wanted to say that, you know, they asked, well, is it okay for a sitting president to go and assassinate a political enemy or anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
And the Supreme Court never asked the question, is it okay for a president to actually shoot a Supreme Court Supreme Court member?
Right.
And they pretty much gave him full immunity to do whatever the hell he wants to do. So I hope that does not come back to haunt them.
Yeah, me
Thank
too.
Thank you, Todd.
I appreciate it. And to make clear, we're not calling for political violence, any violence of any kind, period. But Tom brings up a good point. And that is the Supreme Court, the sitting Supreme Court we have now, did rule that Trump was immune from prosecution of anything he does while president if he could justify it as a presidential act. Well, here you have now the sitting deputy director of the FBI saying that Donald Trump as president should ignore the courts. You have Trump using words like agitator against the courts, insinuating that they are in fact part of the problem. I want to read you something from Time Magazine. There's a publication we don't mention enough or that much anymore. I used to get Time Magazine in print. This is from September of last year, talking about President of El Salvador, Nayib Bukele. I want to read you this paragraph. Listen carefully, please. Quote, Bukele's popularity has come in spite or perhaps because of his defiance of constitutional, political, and legal constraints. Since 2022, he has ruled under emergency powers that suspend key civil liberties, including due process. His security regime can make arrests without warrants, including of minors as young as 12. And hauls hundreds of suspects into mass trials. In every 57, or one rather, one in every 57 Salvadorans is now incarcerated, triple the rate of the United States and the highest in the world. Bukele's allies have fired top judges and packed the courts with loyalists, allowing him to dodge a constitutional prohibition to run successfully for a second term. all with broad public support. Organized political opposition has, in Bukele's words, been pulverized. Defense attorneys, journalists, and NGOs say the government has intimidated, surveilled, or attacked them, spurring many to flee. Quote, El Salvador's institutions have been totally co-opted, subdued, and made obedient to the presidency, unquote, says Celia Mondereno, a Salvadoran human rights activist. This is the template, you understand. This is a guy like Trump. He names people like, you know, Xi of China, North Korean dictator, Turkish president, these people, these oligarchs, these dictators, people that he says, you know, geez, they have so much authority. They just get, the people just line up and do it. Isn't this great? What Bukele in El Salvador has done differently than Trump, which has made him so popular, is because despite all those things I just listed, which goes against the Salvadoran constitution, crime is dramatically down. And he's taken much of the money and invested it in infrastructure, making everyday Salvadorans' lives better. Unlike former presidents of El Salvador on both the left and the right that took money from the coffers themselves, so far it appears Bukele has not done that. What he has done is made a deal with the Chinese, who built a huge, beautiful new national library. The Chinese are building a huge national Salvadoran soccer stadium. But the Chinese don't go around the world just doing things because it's nice. They do it because it's good for the Chinese. That new national library in El Salvador, I've seen, it's beautiful. But my guess is it has more bugs in it than a hound dog underneath a porch on a summer day. I mean, talk about surveillance. And this is what Trump wants. He wants to be liked and popular and get his own way, just like Bukele. And that's why what happened over the weekend matters. It's not about just three planefuls of alleged gang members. It's about Trump thumbing his nose, the political middle finger, whatever metaphor you want to say, to the courts. And if the court judicial system in this country truly fails, then our democracy is over, as we've known it. Chuck Schumer was on CBS this morning saying exactly the same thing. The problem is the Democratic Party right now, it's a hot mess. Divided amongst the progressive left, and the mainstream folks. It's a hot mess right now, the Democratic Party. I'm not here saying the Republican Party is any better. They're worse. But the thing is, they're united, at least to some degree, around this dictator figure of Trump.
Even if what united them is fear of death or their families.
Right. But hey, they're united. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to phone lines. Jack and Merrimack. Jack, about a minute left. What say you?
Well, very quickly, all these rich people that are supporting Trump and want their multi-trillion-dollar tax giveaways, they better wake up. There were a lot of industrialists and rich people that supported Hitler in Germany in the 1930s, and a lot of those people, as soon as they became inconvenienced or didn't toe the line perfectly, they ended up in prison camps or executed.
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court has essentially given Trump carte blanche. They said, yep, there's no consequences for unlawful act.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate the call. Come on back, take more calls on this. We'll give you a little quiz on the measles as well. 855-752-4842. It's a Tuesday. It's the All Ball Show along with Zommers. And this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS. I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We remember the important work of Carrie Morgan. She became a pivotal figure in education in the Appleton area during the late 1800s and was elected superintendent of schools in 1894. Morgan believed in the importance of early childhood learning and took the bold step to establish a kindergarten program. Her forward thinking also laid the foundation for a school dedicated to deaf and handicapped students. She believed every child, regardless of abilities, should have access to education. These efforts set the stage for programs still in use today. Morgan Alley in downtown Appleton was named in her honor in 2019. Her legacy reminds us all of the power to be inclusive and innovative. We recognize the powerful women from the past and those who are still writing their own history today. I'm Amanda Nimmer.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
There's folk songs about diseases.
You just say that because you think everybody's going to take it for a fact.
Well, right, that's
prove it. Tell me a song. What disease is there a song about? Come on. Boom, boom, right now.
What about the measles song?
The measles song? What kind of measles song?
It's called the German measles song.
Is it a polka or something?
The German measles song. You heard the German measles song?
I've heard of the German measles, but I haven't heard of a German measles song. Why don't you sing it?
Have you heard of the German measles song?
No.
Oh, maybe there isn't one.
Is that the Smothers Brothers?
It sure is. I knew you would recognize it.
Yeah.
So
that's fantastic. There is no German measles song that I'm aware of. Tommy was right. But there are measles, and we'll give you a little measles quiz here in a minute. Right now, talking about this breaking news this morning, Donald Trump attacking the sitting federal judge, calling for his impeachment after he ruled against Trump over the weekend, the judge did, on this exporting of alleged criminals, immigrants, out of the U.S. to El Salvador. And now the Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, has put out a statement rebuking that. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Mark in Paradise Sack. Mark, always a pleasure. What say you?
Yeah, I don't know how long it's going to be before some of these Republicans are going to have to start having tasters before they eat a meal. Because that's all. In when the Republic, Roman Republic fell, I mean, and even prior to that, I mean, that's how people got rid of their enemies. I mean, it just is, that these guys are making our lives unsafe, and why should they feel comfortable? And I'm not saying I'm asking for this to happen. I don't want to see it happen, but how long before people just take action like that and that because they're going to feel powerless no matter what? I mean, they want to have violence.
Mm-hmm.
And that if one of these Republicans happened to die of cramps in the night, that Tiberius's brother, I guess, died, you know, that somebody was removing him to get Tiberius in power, and you know, nobody could really prove that it was a poisoning, but you know, that they certainly don't believe in science anymore for Republicans. I mean, that. Well, they don't want to believe in it because Trump doesn't believe in science, and that's what Stalin did as well. I mean, if science doesn't match up with Trump thought these days, it's going to be like in the days of Stalin, that, you know, science is going to match up with political thought, and that is certainly dangerous. And
yep. Well, hang in there, Mark. I appreciate the call. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. First of all, I want to do one more call. Karina in Milwaukee on WAUK. Karina, thanks for calling in. What's up?
Well, you know what? It's a crazy situation. I know it's hard. It's got to be hard to figure it out. But the fact is, I waited for 4 years to get to this country. I came in as an asylum from Russia. I did everything right. And people who don't, they here illegally, which a law doesn't go over them. I mean, it doesn't distribute to people who's here on a tourist visa or illegally or any other way but legally here to as a permanent resident. So that question is very clear for me. Now, the other side, what you were saying, that a completely unsuspected people getting caught in that, and how is it that there is not a concrete direction of verifying where you have a female who's here, married and legal, and why is it that you detaining her, like you gave an example, or people coming in to extend their visa. Now, I just went to Russia, right? And my passport will expire in 6 months, and I know that I cannot cross the border if my passport is expired less than 6 months.
Right.
It's going to be a problem. I wouldn't do it.
Right.
So people also stretch that time saying, well, it's still okay. I did it last time, but you have to be protective of yourself and reasonable to yourself to say, okay, those are things they telling me not to do it. Why am I doing it?
No, I appreciate it. Go ahead.
Yes, and I absolutely agree with you that it have to be some sort of measures where people are legally here shouldn't be caught in this nightmare. But right. The people who are coming here illegally, not only illegally, but also criminal from another country.
Sure.
Look, when we were coming here and still coming here and somebody coming from Russia, they pulling their criminal record.
Right.
And if they have criminal record, they will deny visa.
Right. I appreciate the call, Karina. As my former boss used to say, I think we're in the heat of agreement. Look, I'm for the law, period, right? I'm for the Constitution, I'm for the rule of law. Within that window, though, there's a way that you apply the rule of law. And I know this from my time working on immigration cases in Congress, that even people who come here undocumented or come here legally and end up undocumented, everyone's entitled to due process under the Constitution. And that's what disturbs me about what happened over the weekend, is that it appears that due process was not followed. And instead of, like most presidents before him, Trump saying, well, this really sucks, I'm angry about this, but fine, we'll go to court, we'll prove our case, we'll win and move on, he just decided to ignore the courts. And that's where it becomes extraordinarily dangerous. That's where we start easing into the realm of third world country, like what's happened in El Salvador, where Nayib Bukele just said, I want to get things done. I'm going to suspend civil liberties. I'm going to suspend habeas corpus. I'm going to suspend people's rights. And that is where we are headed to if people don't speak up. How can we stop this in a way? I'll tell you on the other side. It starts with V and it ends with E. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Up North News creator and editor Christina Laurie. Then Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens joins the show to discuss the NCAA tournament. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Hi, Chef Grunder. Let's dive right into the machine shed. Fridays here mean all you care to have fried or broiled North Atlantic cod, or try our bone-in seasoned catfish lightly fried. More of a salmon lover? Choose between the machine shed's white wine sauce or apple bourbon glaze. Our sautéed savory shrimp will satisfy your taste buds with Old Bay seasoning and Asiago cheese. All great choices. Join us this Friday or every Friday for seafood worth savoring at the shed.
Fox River Drive, Appleton.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Chief Justice John Roberts pushing back against President Trump's calls for a federal judge to be impeached after halting deportation flights under the Alien Enemies Act. Roberts says impeachment is inappropriate. Meantime, the Justice Department continuing to stonewall the federal judge.
In a written response to Judge James Boasberg, the Justice Department says the administration should not be required to answer his questions, such as how many more alleged gang members might be subject to removal under the Alien Enemies Act. The government calls that sensitive information bearing on national security and foreign relations. The government's filing says if the judge does order the Justice Department to provide the information, he should only receive it privately in his chambers.
The White House has not released details of the call between President Trump and Russia's leader, the U.S. working to finalize a ceasefire deal between Russia and Ukraine, the Kremlin calling it a frank discussion. Another round of severe storms, including blizzard alerts, issued from Nevada to the Midwest. This is ABC News.
I'm Lee.